Ladies and gentlemen, time for the Global Threat Report with the captain, of course, Ken Bombace, GlobalThreatSolutions.com for peace of mind in uncertain times. Check it out, GlobalThreatSolutions.com. The captain, with all his years of service and with his firm now, 100% military veteran-owned security and investigations firm, really making a lot of headlines, and they are basically headquartered on Long Island, Suffolk County. They have offices as well in the city, Miami, L.A., Frankfurt, and Mumbai. GlobalThreatSolutions.com. Make a phone call, folks. Any questions, 646-946-6649. The aforementioned Captain Ken Bombace back, I might add, in fine fashion from Mexico City on a bit of a covert mission, which we will discuss. Cap, good to have you back. How are you?
Doing great, Chad. Thanks for having me on.
There's so much to discuss. I want to get into the F-16 deal where America and some of the Western allies plans to send F-16 firefighter jets, Captain, to Ukraine. That will help train its pilots amid its ongoing war with Moscow. And, of course, you had a bit of a missive from the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister, Alexander Grushko, who told the country's state news agency, TASS, that they'll take into account when making plans, they have the means to achieve goals. The kind of a warning here, Cap, in response to Joe Biden announcing, what was it, last Friday, the G7 summit in Japan, that the U.S. would back a joint international effort to supply Kyiv, capital city of Ukraine, with American-made F-16s. What do you make out of all this?
Yeah, so, Jay, according to a top diplomat in Europe, Ukrainian pilots, they've already started to undergo training on F-16 fighter jets in several European Union countries. Also, as you mentioned, President Biden seems to have changed his tune a little bit in delivering F-16s to Ukraine. So the question is right now, does this move make NATO and our NATO allies a party to the conflict? And the short answer is going to be, in Russia's eyes, yes. This has been, as you know, Joe, we've talked about this for so long now. This has been a really sensitive issue since the beginning of the conflict. There's been this distinction drawn by Russians between defensive weapons like anti-aircraft systems and weapons that can be used defensively, or long-range missile systems and, of course, fighter jets, weapons that Russia considers offensive weapons. So I think since the beginning, one thing's clear. The U.S. has ruled out any direct participation by, actual U.S. military personnel. But now we're talking about supplying F-16s with our allies that will be flown by Ukrainian pilots. So the reason this is so important right now is because this could totally help deny Russia control of the skies. You know, Ukraine's done a pretty good job, Jay, using these anti-aircraft systems and denying Russia from having control of the skies. But this could change that. I mean, their systems and the pace that we have kept up with them is a challenge for Ukraine. And if Russia were to gain control of the skies over Ukraine, you will see this conflict very quickly brought to an end. And it could either be an outright defeat of Ukraine, or at a minimum, they'd be brought to the diplomatic table and not with favorable a favorable solution for Ukraine. So my stance is I think that we have to give them these jets. I've said that since the beginning. You know, it's easy, Jay, to forget. We're sitting here debating whether they're defensive or offensive weapons, and it's so easy to forget Russia invaded this peaceful country. Who cares if Russia considers them defensive or offensive in nature? Russia's using offensive weapons, so why should Ukraine be denied those same weapons? I also feel it's necessary to stand up, you know, to Russia and the constant threats. One of the reasons that we've been so apprehensive to give them these F-16s is they make these constant threats, even threats including the use of nuclear weapons. And I think we need to stand strong right now. You know, Russia started this by invading an innocent country, peaceful country, and Ukraine should not be limited to the weapons they use to defend themselves.
And if you go back in history, as far as the days of the Vietnam War, there are some similarities here as well. And I'm talking about, you know, the back and forth decisions of this administration. You know, kind of a belated decision, Cap, to provide these F-16 fighters after months of refusal to do so. And, you know, you get kind of a little reversal here, which is somewhat, you know, it's kind of a pattern of what we have seen here out of Joe Biden. If you remember, initially resisting sending those rockets, what were the HIMARS rockets, until they kind of had a change of heart. Then it was about supplying the Patriot anti-missile batteries, changing their mind again there. I guess even prior to the F-16, remember the tanks, the Abrams M1. That was the same deal there. So, you know, you've had this back and forth type of mindset from Joe Biden here. But, you know, it's about, as this thing progresses, you know, into the 16th month, I think right now this administration knows that Russia is not going away. And it's apparent. And thus, you know, you need some of the heavy artillery out there in order to kind of make an impact, Cap.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, everyone, the world has been so surprised with Ukraine and their ability to defend against the Russians. But we have to remember that that's not a guarantee, and that could dwindle, and we could see that things change very quickly. And, you know, it's a shame. You have to question, if we had provided all the weapon systems you just mentioned before, and, of course, these F-16s, if we had provided these in a more timely manner, how many people, how many lives might have been saved? Or, Jay, could we have brought this conflict to an end much quicker than we are? And letting this thing drag on. I mean, look at Bakhmut right now. That city is completely destroyed. It's, you know, unsalvageable right now. And had we provided them with these weapons aggressively in the beginning of this conflict, might we have turned the tide and at a minimum brought Putin to the negotiating table? And now this thing just drags on and on. And, you know, these F-16s, I'm glad we're doing it, but it takes time to train these pilots with these and for them to actually be effective on the battlefield. So I think that we've moved too slow. We have to stop worrying about what Vladimir Putin thinks and give the Ukrainians the weapons they need to defend themselves and bring this thing to an end.
Well, you'd like to see Joe Biden get before the American people regarding the importance of Ukraine's independence for other reasons. And the commitment, of course, the American commitment, all the dollars placed and everything else that a lot of people are questioning right now. And, you know, you kind of get an ill feeling here, at least I do, regarding Biden, that he would like to kind of keep things, you know, somewhat ambiguous, Cap, so to speak. So that, unfortunately, yeah. Listen, we saw what happened in Afghanistan, you know, where he gave you that botched withdrawal. You hope that does not occur as far as Ukraine is concerned. So a little bit of a parallel there, but you know, you kind of get a feeling here. You'd like to see him come clean here as far as making, you know, coming before the American people at 9 o'clock on a given night, you know?
Yeah, you know, Jay, I think there's a theory that's been out there since the beginning, and we've touched on it before, where the West is sort of allowing Ukraine to fight this war for us, and we could, like, we might have an incentive. There's people that feel the U.S. and the West has an incentive to let this war drag on because Ukraine's fighting the war, not us. And they're, what are they doing? They're weakening our enemy, Russia. And they are clearly weakening them. Russia has put much of their military resources into this. They've lost tens of thousands of troops over there, a lot of equipment. And it's like we're letting Ukraine do our dirty work, so why bring this to an end? Now, I'm just saying that's a theory out there. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but something to be considered for sure. And another thing that we've touched on before is unless it's all behind closed doors, it doesn't seem like there's been any real diplomatic effort or initiative on behalf of this president and this administration to bring this thing to an end. You've heard of some other players trying to bring a diplomatic solution forward, concerning this conflict, but not the U.S. so much. You would think that the president could take a greater effort in trying to move forward diplomatic solutions to this conflict, and you don't read anything about that. I haven't read anything about that at all. So I'd like to see maybe something like that, maybe get some of our prominent NATO allies, leaders, and try and how about we move forward in that front, too? I mean, this conflict has been going on for a year and a half now. People are suffering every day over there. And right now, this is a critical time, Jay. We're not sure of what's going to happen. The spring offensive, we're waiting for the Ukrainian counteroffensive. We see Bakhmut potentially right now might be under Russian control, which, if nothing else, is symbolically demoralizing to the Ukrainian people, if that's true. There's a lot going on right now, and I think that we need a more concerted effort to try and bring this thing to an end diplomatically.
Question. Thus, the decision of these F-16s, the cap with us. Don't forget the cap shows. Well, I'll tell you, it's got a lot of buzz. A lot of buzz after a couple of weeks. The captain's brief. Have you heard it on Saturday mornings at 11? We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Let's get to the Hunter Biden deal, Cap, with more revelations, fresh whistleblower revelations, we should say. You know, I don't know how we look at this Justice Department anymore, Captain. You know, as far as the Hunter Biden deal, and maybe the entire Biden family for that matter, as a new informant charges that top justice officials have worked to protect good old Hunter amidst the probe of his tax returns, including, by the way, by retaliating against IRS staff who complained. So very troubling stuff here regarding this whole thing. What do you make out of it?
Yeah, so a second IRS whistleblower in the criminal investigation against Hunter Biden emerged Monday in documents sent to Congress following the purge of the entire investigatory team, Jay. I mean, this is getting crazy. This special agent specifically was assigned to the International Tax and Financial Crimes Group, and he was removed from the investigation last week, no explanation. And he was involved since the very beginning. Since 2018, which reminds you, it's hard to believe when you read these articles, this has been going on since 2018. It seems impossible to me that they haven't come to a conclusion and moved this investigation forward. And that's part of the problem here. This second whistleblower is going to testify to Congress with his supervisor, who's already come forward, who was also removed. Both whistleblowers have been making complaints for years that this investigation was not progressing and being swept under the rug, Jay, by senior IRS officials and the U.S. Attorney's Office. So the question is, why is this so important? Well, it is a concern that a family member of a sitting president is beyond justice and law enforcement officials have colluded to stall an investigation. That's first. But more importantly, Jay, is the fact that this investigation isn't really about Hunter. There are serious claims right now that proceeds from Hunter's possibly illegal business practices directly benefited Joe Biden, our president. Now, that's a real concern, and it seems something that would be very easy to determine. And, you know, there was a statement by Hunter found on his laptop where he said he has to share half his income with his father. I mean, outright, that statement is made by Hunter Biden. It seems that this investigation could have been brought forward much quicker. Since 2018, they've been working on this, and there's complaints by these whistleblowers saying that it's being stalled intentionally by senior Justice Department people and IRS officials. So what's the next step with this? I think that one thing I fear, Jay, is that now they've waited so long, they've dragged their feet so long. Are they going to now claim, well, now there's a presidential election going on, so we don't want this to in any way impact that election, so we're going to postpone this till afterwards? I mean, it's ridiculous. This has been going on since 2018. This needs to be brought to a head right now before this election, Jay. And we need to know if President Biden has had nothing to do with this, and there's nothing to see here. Then let's determine that and move forward. But if not, we need to get the answers to this that this investigation promised to give, you know, almost 6 years ago. This is a long time for an investigation to be going on and no progress made. And now you have people, internal people, saying exactly that, the people who have worked hardest on this investigation, a lead investigator and a supervisor. So if there's no wrongdoing, then let's move forward with the investigation and put it behind us. My guess is, though, Jay, that that's not the case. I think it's clear that Joe Biden in some way benefited from these the proceeds that Hunter Biden gained, and we need to know that.
Unfortunately, Cap, I got a bad feeling about it. It just stinks. I mean, the stench of a corrupt FBI and Justice Department looms large for me. As, by the way, detailed, you know, you go to the Durham report, and, you know, you look at how these individuals, these agents, so-called agents, protected Hillary Clinton. Yet they probed the Donald Trump-Russia collusion myth based on no credible evidence whatsoever, while ignoring exculpatory information. I mean, you know, it just the stench is so bad. And you look at how Merrick Garland, who has a direct in with his Delaware U.S. attorney, you know, the whistleblower, who's been looking into Hunter's possible money laundering and various other crimes. I mean, it is just obvious to me under Garland, who really just answers to one person, President of the United States. And he's doing everything he can to avoid prosecution of the first son here. I mean, come on. The puzzle pieces are fitting in remarkably well, you would say, no?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you try and keep an open mind, and you, it's so ridiculous that there's no way since 2018. You know, Hunter Biden is not a sophisticated criminal. You know, I mean, if he was not very sophisticated in hiding his actions. This has been going on for almost 6 years. They have all of the information they need. They could have, they've had all the information they needed in this case 4 years ago. And to sit here and still not take action as we move into the 2024 presidential election cycle is ridiculous. And both, like you said before, with the Durham probe, I mean, I think they say that there's been changes made based on that investigation and problems that existed within the FBI. I don't think nearly enough. I think there should have been more criminal charges brought forward in that investigation with the FBI senior people. Again, you've heard me say this so many times. The FBI, you know, these agents are out there doing God's work. You know, they're protecting America every single day. You don't even hear about all the successes, you know, preventing terrorist attacks. And it's an insult to all these agents out there, hardworking people around the country, because you had a small little group of politically motivated senior leaders in Washington, D.C., who took it upon themselves to try and decide for us who the president of the United States should be. And the hypocrisy, like you mentioned, Jay, the hypocrisy is it's outstanding. I mean, it's ridiculous. With Hillary Clinton, where there was clear crimes committed, and they admitted that there was crimes committed, but said that no reasonable prosecutor, Comey said, would move forward with this case. But what about this? Would no reasonable prosecutor move forward with this case? It seems clear as day. Crimes were committed. Taxes were not paid. Let's see where this money came from and see if it benefited Joe Biden directly. If it didn't, show us. But if it did, it seems like it would take one day to figure out. This is not sophisticated stuff. They have all access to these accounts, Jay. And it seems like it's nothing but a constant obstacles for this investigation to prevent it from moving forward for political reasons. I'm not sure how else you could explain it.
But I'll tell you one thing. With the DeSantis announcement at 6 o'clock later regarding his presidential run, perhaps maybe he can clean out this this mess of the FBI and the CIA. Maybe he'll pick an ex-CIA director as a running mate. Cap, hint, hint. We shall see on that. The captain with us, Ken Bombay's Global Threat Report. Let's get to the mission. Because of time purposes, we'll jump over the Idaho stuff. Kind of covered it yesterday. Brian Koberger is cooked. Grand jury and everything else as far as the arraignment. We'll get into that next time even more so. But give me a sense as far as Mexico City and the mission. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is probably the biggest, in some aspects, the biggest mission we've ever run with my firm. We had over, you know, I'll just give it to you in broad strokes, Jay, because I don't want to go into too many details, but we had over 400 armed and unarmed agents working for us throughout the city. We had over 20 protection details deployed throughout the city. We were protecting multiple venues. I recruited some elite Mexican active military members to form protection details, and I also brought down some Tier 1 U.S. Special Operations personnel to help us run this. And it was a very complex mission, something that you know, I'm incredibly proud of that we're able to do successfully. And I'll tell you, on another note, it was Mexico City was really interesting. And you know, one thing that hit me, Jay, as we sit here and we talk about the immigration issue, which is a legitimate, serious issue, our southern border problems we're facing, the crisis. But when you get down to Mexico City and you look around, it's the largest city in North America. The vast majority of these people, they're just working and living their lives and have no plans of leaving. You know, do you have this image in your mind like all of Mexico is kind of staged at the border trying to come into the United States? And it's not the case. There's a lot of other countries that are people use Mexico to get to our border, but there's a lot of business down there. It's a really big, beautiful city, Mexico City. So it was very interesting. I'd like to, when I'm not on business, spend some time down there when I have a chance.
It'd be very interesting indeed. More discussions on that as Suffolk County. About, according to a report out of New York One, that Stony Brook could be a landing spot. We shall see as far as a very important issue. The captain with us. Now, the captain does a show, ladies and gentlemen. It's called The Captain's Brief. Have you heard it yet? If you haven't, you're missing something very special. There's a lot of buzz. He's had a couple of great shows launching just a few weeks ago. The Captain's Brief can be heard every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Right here on LI News Radio. Cap, you're doing a heck of a job, I got to tell you, heck of a job. I've heard the shows. They are crisp, chock full of information, riveted as far as listening. Give me a sense of how you're feeling going into the next week, and who do you got coming up on Saturday, maybe?
So, we have a few guests. Again, I don't want to release them right now. One of them I don't want to put out until we're going to have the show. It's a national figure, a national security figure. I think everybody's going to have going to gain a lot from that interview. And like I've said before, Jay, I think this show is so important, the Captain's Brief, because we're focusing on these national security issues that are so critical right now. And as I've stated so many times in my lifetime, I've never seen a more dangerous time for America. I've never seen greater national security threats in my entire lifetime. And I think that it gets swept under the rug with all of the constant noise about domestic issues and infighting, political infighting, where there's never been a greater divide in this country in my life. And I think that what I want to do with this show is arm people with the information they need, national security information, which is so critically important, the most important thing, challenges we face right now. Everything from the border and fentanyl and crime and terrorism to China, Russia, all of these threats right now. I want people to have the information needed to go into that voting booth in 2024 and be able to make an educated decision on the facts that really matter to the American people right now. And that's our mission.
Very important. Very important show, and we're lucky to have him, I got to tell you. And, folks, you can hear it every Saturday morning, 11 to 11:30. That is a great half-hour of radio, I got to tell you. Keep up the great work, Cap. The Captain and the Global Threat Report, ladies and gentlemen, GlobalThreatSolutions.com for peace of mind in uncertain times. Check it out. Great website. GlobalThreatSolutions.com. Make a phone call. The captain's company provides so much as far as his security investigations firm. You can make a phone call, 646-946-6600. And again, I implore you to go to that site and check out all the services his great company provides. GlobalThreatSolutions.com. Until next time, Cap, we will chat, my friend.
Great, Jay. Thanks for having me on.